This is the PSA Podcast, where we deep dive into the business of technology and automation.
Hey, good afternoon, Marty. How are you doing today?
Joe, glad to be with you again. Looking forward to this conversation very much with Eric today. It's going to be fabulous.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it as well. So today we're going to be discussing the business and technology behind always-on logistics with one of our technology partners, Plus One Robotics. So in order to do that, today we're joined by Eric Nieves. And Eric is one of the co-founders and CEO of Plus One Robotics, a software company developing 3D and AI-powered vision software for robotics in the logistics automation, which we're going to explore a little more today. But so prior to joining Plus One, Eric was the technology director at Yaskawa Motoman Robotics, where he was responsible for developing like a technology roadmap and understanding the emerging technologies and applications surrounding robotics. Eric also serves on the board at the Robotics Industries Association, otherwise known as like RIA, you would know that, and is a frequent speaker and contributor to public policy on robotics. So to learn more about Plus One Robotics, you can visit their website at plusonerobotics.com and be sure to check out and follow both Plus One and Eric on LinkedIn. So without further ado, good afternoon, Eric. How are you doing?
I am well, Joe. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. I've been looking forward to this one.
Yeah, so are we.
This is going to be a fun conversation.
Yeah, I'm hoping it is too. And, you know, Marty and I are just super excited to have you on. So, you know, before we get into, you know, we like to say the business and technology behind Plus One Robotics, I'd like to learn a little bit more about yourself, you know, how you came into the industry. Certainly, we know that you're at Yaskawa Motoman, but you know, let's just talk a little bit about more about yourself and how you came to Plus One and becoming a co-founder and CEO of Plus One Robotics.
Sure. I think the fun part is actually how I got into Yaskawa to begin with, right?
Okay.
So I did not study engineering in school. I studied math and physics. But during the summers, I would go up to a factory in Minnesota and that made cement mixers and just work on the floor. And my gig was grinding. So I would hold an electric grinder in my hands for like 10, 11 hours a day, grinding down welds before paint, you know, before the drum went into paint.
Super fun.
It was rough, but it paid a lot. And you know, this foreman comes rolling up to me and he's like, "Hey Eric, I hear you know something about computers." Joe, this is like 1988. There ain't that much to know.
No, not much.
Right? And so I said, yeah, expecting he was having trouble with printer drivers or something. And he's like, "Look, we got this machine over here. Nobody knows how to make it run." Well, it was a welding robot.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay. And so RTM, I read the manual. And figured out how to make this thing do what it was supposed to do. And all of a sudden, instead of holding this thing up for 11 hours a day, I'm loading some parts in a jig, throwing some clamps and hitting this green button and sitting down for 10, 15 minutes.
Right.
And I'm like, this is the future.
Yeah.
I did that for like 3 summers. Mm. And after graduation, you know, I called up, you know, at the time, Motoman, and said, "Hey, do you have a place for somebody like me?"
Mm.
And they were like, "Yeah, you've been doing this. You're one of very few people that's, you know, it was still early." So I ended up joining Yaskawa in 1991 and ended up staying there for 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a career then, right? So learning a lot through that pathway, I'm sure, right?
For sure. And along that way, came the financial crisis, right? 08, 09,
right?
And the automotive industry tanked. Well, every robot person knows what happens when Detroit goes, you know, catches the sniffle. The robot industry gets the flu,
right? For sure.
And Detroit had a whole lot more than the sniffles in 09.
Right.
So, you know, it was really, really hard on us as a company. And, you know, we just determined then, we got to go find something else for robots to do that's not tied to a car part somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent probably 6 or 8 quarters investigating all these different verticals. And, you know, cut to the chase, there's only 2 additional verticals that matter, that have sufficient volume at sufficient value: electronics assembly, mm-hmm. and logistics and supply chain, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. And of those two, you know, electronics assembly is going to stay in Southeast Asia no matter what you do. So, you know, logistics, of course, is by definition always local. So we try to focus on what does that market need?
Right.
How do we bring robots to that market? And then it's like, wait a minute, that market, it does not have a robot problem. The robot's the easy part. That market has a vision and grasping problem. And so that's how Plus One came to be, right? We knew that it really wasn't a robot arm problem and wasn't going to be solved by a robot manufacturer. It was a perception and intelligence problem that we, you know, set out to resolve.
Right, right. Yeah. So then you transitioned, right? So in a big way.
I did.
Right? You leave the comfort, coziness of large company, you scowl a motor man and said, hey, I'm going to dip my toes, or, you know, I'm going to dive head first into being a co-founder of a startup, right? A technology startup.
For sure. And, you know, I just knew that I was passionate about solving this problem. I'm not, you know, a classical entrepreneur that's just a builder and I want to go build this thing and then I'm going to go build the next thing, right? Leave it that kind of thing to Elon Musk. I just know this problem. And I'm confident that sort of the approach we've taken, right, the whole human in the loop approach to the way we solve the problem is the right way to do it. And I'm just so motivated to teach the old dog of, you know, repeatable industrial robots new tricks in variable environments like, you know, warehouses.
Right.
So, yes, I did. Had I known, you know, back then in 2016, how hard it is to actually just run a business, you know, forgetting all the technology side, it's probably best I was ignorant of all of that, right? Because, you know, certainly it's a lot of work of its own volition,
yeah.
Leave alone solving the technical challenges and the applications.
Yeah, you know, but it's been maybe a rocky road, but it's been a very successful road so far. And I think it's okay that I can say that. I mean, you literally now you've evolved from this startup to now plus 1 billion picks, mm-hmm. using your software vision solution tied together with robotic manipulators, right? I mean, kudos to that. That's a great feat.
It was a hugely important benchmark for our business, right? When we first started, our sort of motto was first to 100, right? The first of the sort of new entrants in robotics to get 100 systems deployed in the world. Mm-hmm. And once we crossed that and, you know, we were successfully the first one to get to 100 units, what's the next one? It's the first to 1 billion picks. And, you know, what the billion picks represents is really our customers just rely on our technology to make their obligations. And that's what you want. You know, if they don't rely on you, you know, then you're not sticky. But 1 billion picks is just evidence that, you know, they need us as much as we need them. And it's been a really good ride. To give you a sense of scale, you know, a billion is a 1,000 million. So it probably, you know, we've been doing this since 2017, right? We started counting really in 2020. And it took us the, you know, 4 years to get to that first billion.
Wow.
Well, the second billion ain't gonna take near that long.
Sure.
We will do over 1 million picks today, and we'll do over another 1 million picks tomorrow, and that number just continues to grow. So, very pleased about the performance of the, you know, technology out in the world.
Right, right. So then you're focusing on the logistics, right? So, and all those picks, and you say they continue to go and go, this always on logistics, right? So that's kind of part of your core mission. And so what helps enhance this always on logistics or drives your core mission? There's some technology involved in that you can feel very confident saying always on logistics. Can you explain that a little bit further?
For sure. So we work from the premise that our AI, which is terrific, right? Every one of our systems has an AI model running. And yet, we'll tell you from the jump, the AI is going to disappoint you on occasion. There are going to be scenes that it does not understand. They're too cluttered. They're too shiny. Or it's the new stuff the robot's never encountered before. There's 100 reasons why a robot would go, what are those? Mm-hmm. Right? And so if you just work from that as the truth, the real question is, how do you recover quickly? Mm-hmm. And so that's why the company's called Plus One, Joe. Right? We're called Plus One Robotics because we take it as truth that the people are smarter than the robots. Right?
Yeah.
And so when the AI does not exceed confidence threshold, right? Let's think of it like this. By and large, the picks happen autonomously. The camera sees the image, the AI says, yep, that's a viable pick, go get it. And that might happen 98.5% of the time. But every once in a while, the AI goes, I don't know. And when that happens and it does not exceed that threshold, that's when we invoke the human in the loop. And so a person sitting in Texas gets an alert on their screen and goes, oh, look at that. That robot in New Hampshire is confused. I would probably pick up that one. Mm-hmm. And you command it from remote and the robot says, thank you very much, and goes back to work.
Right.
So the interval from the time a robot cried uncle till it's running again is always under 15 seconds, no matter where the robot is in North America. Most of the time, the folks on the floor didn't even know it happened.
Right.
Right? And so if you're gonna have always on logistics, that means you have to have smart recovery mm-hmm. in logistics. And that's what this does.
Yeah.
We just wanna make sure, you know, most of the time, when a robot stops, it's not broken. It's confused. Mm-hmm. You can deal with confusion remotely. Let's do that.
Right.
Let's do it quick and let's do it fast.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Right.
And so
that's
so
part
that
of the
leads me to another part of your offering there, and it's called the crew chief, right? So you have the software that built into it, Yonder, and a crew chief that helps. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about a crew chief, because I tell you, this was really interesting for us as a partner to Plus One. When we first came down to your facility there in Texas and we saw what the crew chief does and how it reacts to some of these anomalies, that was pretty slick. And we're like, this is awesome technology. So let's talk about a crew chief and who can be a crew chief.
Yeah, so a day in the life of a crew chief, right? So first off, crew chiefs are not engineers. What they are a lot of them are just really good gamers, right? They're quick on the trigger, they react very quickly, and they know how to switch tools just like they were switching, you know, their weapon of choice in, you know, Call of Duty or something. So what happens is a crew chief is not dedicated to an account. A crew chief is looking at all the robots in the field. And they're not looking at a screen with all these robots running. That would be too noisy. Instead, their screen is blank until a robot needs help. Mm. And when that happens, they get the alert, they look at it, they immediately respond to that one. The response could be as simple as point and click. Right. Click in the middle of the package and it goes. It could be more sophisticated than that. When we do depalletizing with robots, often the crew chief will circumscribe the perimeter of what we want you to pick and in what orientation. In other words, I still need this to go longwise, you know, short side leading. Mm-hmm. They just do that.
Wow.
So, and the next time that they get a request might be a different customer with a different set of constraints. So what's fascinating to me about watching the crew chief's work is our interface shows them which tools does that end effector have available to you at that site for that robot. And sometimes there's just the one tool and you just have to figure out where you want it. sometimes they'll have to select between four or five different modes of a tool. Okay. And they just do that very, very rapidly. Mm. So that's the whole robots work, people rule mantra of Plus One, right? Because people are awesome.
I like that
people
too. Are awesome. Yeah, exactly. Robots work, but people rule. I dig that too. That's a great mantra for sure. So can an operator at the customer level be a crew chief, or is that strictly, you know, for the Plus One extended crew chief team?
It's a fair question. Either one is possible, right? So you can imagine that there are customers for whom privacy requirements are such that they would not allow data to leave their network. Mm-hmm. Okay? In that case, they can act as their own crew chiefs. But we have other customers where that's not the issue, but maybe they want us to act as the crew chiefs for the first year while everybody gets up to speed on how these robots work and getting sort of acclimated to the technology. And then in the subsequent years, they want to take over crew chiefing. We're fine with that. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, we've had multiple customers start that way or say that's what they want to do. Not a one of them has ever taken over. Right? In the end, they're like, you know what? You guys are doing a fine job. I got enough to do. You just keep on being my crew chiefs and, you know, we're going to continue to grow the fleet.
Yeah.
And the idea is, obviously, you want more robots per crew chief.
Yeah.
You want to gain efficiency in crew chiefing. And that's easier to do when you consolidate them on our side than if a customer does it themselves.
Sure. Understood. So how does Yonder fit into this? Because that's another portion of your product offering, right?
Right. So you can think of our product offering as three pieces. So Pick One is the software that resides on the industrial PC at the robot cell. And that IPC has the AI model and all the vision processing stuff on it. It also understands when it needs to phone a friend, right? In the event Pick One fails and now you need to phone a friend, that's Yonder. Mm. Yonder is the interlink between Plus One or crew chiefs, no matter where they are, and the robots on the floor. And so Pick One runs, Yonder manages communication. The crew chief is the one that does the, you know, actual picking in the end.
Gotcha. Okay. So, all right, we got some of the technology stuff behind this. So how do you go to market? How do you bring your products and services to bear in the marketplace? I know you go to trade shows. I know you're very pleasant.
Sure.
But how do you actually take solutions to the marketplace?
Yeah. The first thing is customers don't care about software. Right? No customer ever bought a piece of software. The customer needs a solution to a production problem, to something about throughput. So it's how are they best served in getting that solution? I can tell you, effectively, Plus One does a couple of applications in the world. One of them is parcel induction onto high-speed sortation equipment, and the other is depalletizing. Well, in depalletizing, there is already a sort of universe of system integrators that do depalletizing and have for a long time, but it's been sort of limited to single SKU or homogeneous kind of pallets. Mm-hmm. Our technology just unlocks mixed pallets for that same channel. And so Plus One has no need to deliver the overall solution for depalletizing. You know, integrators like PSA and others, that's what you guys are good at. And you're customer facing and you have, you know, boots on the ground and all of that. So we're just the technology piece that unlocks additional application space. In parcel induction, that's actually less true. In parcel induction, that's a sort of emerging technology. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have 20 or 30 years of history to depend on. So there are fewer system integrators that are capable in that space.
Right.
And so sometimes Plus One has to step into that role. And we have, in fact, delivered entire solutions for the parcel induction market, but not in depalletizing.
Gotcha. That makes sense. So Yeah, I know there's a lot of technology companies out there that are trying to hit that market. So to be able to have that solution ready to go and have proof that you've been able to do that in the past, I mean, that's a check mark, for you guys, because I know it's a pretty tried and true software package and vision solution that you guys have. So I know recently you've been to some trade shows, you got to get out there, show people your product mm-hmm. offerings. One a couple of weeks ago, MODEX, and then Logimat, right?
Last week, yeah.
So how are your solutions being taken today? Like, because I would imagine in the past, you're trying to get that information out there. Here's the concept. Here's the idea. Now, you know, logistics is more and more labor constrained, and they're always looking for solutions. How was it during these two trade shows in the past? I can't imagine it was less than awesome.
It's, so we just did MODEX and Logimat, and both of them were so robot heavy, right? So many AMRs, so many arms. Everybody understands that the robots are coming to this space. And that's a good thing. This is an underserved market for automation, very much so. I mean, I told somebody recently that there are probably more robots on Mars than there are in, a warehouse, any warehouse in America. Mm. And there's only three on Mars, and one of them doesn't work, right? So the point is, it's an underserved market for automation. So great. Now that the technology has sort of proven itself in these halo customers, right? Amazon showed the world the value of mobile robots on their floor, right? So AMRs now are a category and everybody's doing it. Mm-hmm. And the picking robots are coming in behind that. Mm-hmm. So while yes, the technology is now ready, that doesn't mean the market is quite ready, right? Because the warehouse industry is a legacy industry that's a reticent adopter of technology. Mm-hmm. You might walk in, and I'm sure you've had this experience, Joe, you walk into a facility and the most sophisticated piece of equipment they've got is a PLC.
Right.
Right?
Or a new
terminal. Right. Sure. Yeah. And now you're going to go in there and tell them, well, I have this AI-enabled computer vision system with this robot and this intelligent end effector. You're talking so far past them.
Yeah.
And so what does that mean? That means you really have to crawl, walk, run mm-hmm. in this space. You got to give them one machine on a pilot basis. Let them try before they buy. You have to prove to them that, yes, your computer vision system can handle their parcel types or their case types, even though we are on our side going, look, it don't look any different than the other guys, right? We've seen these before, but you need to have it proven. We will prove it to you. It's because it's a reluctant market to adopt tech.
Yeah.
This is why, Joe, I think it's so important that you have a human in the loop, because it really helps that shop manager go, okay, even if this stuff doesn't work, there's a, man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
That's probably going to help me out. And I don't have a doorstop sitting on my floor.
Yeah. Kind of gives you like a confidence builder, right?
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
No, I completely agree. Hey, Marty.
So the trade shows were good, but the trade shows were good.
Yeah, good.
Well, we're going to see obviously, more and more RFPs coming out as a result. But the sort of sales cycle, it's still going to be a little bit sluggish until you've reached critical mass in the world.
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, yeah, this stuff just works.
I've been in the food service distribution business in the past, and I can see where you're coming from, and I understand that. I've been around logistics for a long time. I have a question that's not on the sheet of paper. Are you teaching this in high schools and colleges, universities? Maybe I missed that in the introduction. I'm sitting here thinking, well, wow, this guy is, wow. So are you sharing your knowledge in these kind of settings?
Yes, I am. In fact, there's, of course, the magnet schools here in San Antonio for STEM and tech. that we're very involved with. We host events here at Plus One all the time. I'm a regular sort of advocate in the world, both in industry and academia, for this whole notion of supervised autonomy. Because that's the technical term for what we're discussing here. Human in the loop is supervised autonomy. And, you know, that framework can sometimes get lost in the hype cycle of AI.
Yeah.
Autonomous driving, you know, fleet management, all of that. And that's great. But when you're dealing with the physics of the world, then your AI is not going to be sufficient. And if you take it as I do, as an article of just bedrock truth, that people are more intelligent, more capable at reasoning and decision making than any algorithm or AI we could come up with, then just leverage the people to the degree that you can.
Yeah, that's a super good message and really important to get out there, to understand the importance of human interaction, to make sure so they understand that, robots, they're super repeatable, will do a task as they're being told and programmed to do. But when you're looking at, you know, the diversity of products that they're trying to pick, especially in the warehouse and logistics, having that individual there, like your crew chief, is paramount for the success of automation.
Yeah, you brought up a really good point, Joe, which is the sort of distinction between manufacturing and warehouse distribution, right? Is in manufacturing, you're predicated on repeatability. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the same thing the same way for the next 8 years, where in the warehouse, it's predicated on variability.
Right.
I don't know what you're going to order next week, but I'm pretty sure it's different than what you ordered last week, right? And I sure don't know 6 months from now. And even if you order the exact same thing, chances are it's going to come in different packaging because packaging engineers are doing their thing. Or it's a promotional packaging, right? It's got, you know, advertisement for some new Netflix special or who knows what. Well, guess what? To computer vision, that's an entirely new thing. Even if it's the same 12-pack of razors that you bought on subscription. So variability requires human in the loop.
Right.
And that's the world of warehousing.
Sure. So variability. You're still seeing variability. What is the vision of Plus One Robotics moving forward to help their solution providers like a PSA or others out there to kind of ease their way in or handle this variability, other than just you and your pick one software, Yonder Crew Chief? Are you coming out with any other tools, hardware, software that are other value add that integrators like a PSA could take advantage of?
Sure. So let's switch gears and talk about our induction work, right? So we started the conversation by saying the space is really hand-eye coordination. And pretty much everything we've talked about is the eyes. Right? Whether it's the camera's eyes or the human crew chief's eyes, it's still the vision piece of it. But the grasping piece is hardware, right? And we recently, actually at MODEX, debuted a gripper, an end effector for parcel handling. And it's just born of our experience over that billion picks. And, you know, if you were to start, and this is how we started. We look at the packages and we go, okay, we need a gripper about this big. And so we're going to have however many cups it takes to fit that space. Okay, good. And then it's like, well, you know what? We need compliance in that end effector more than just the cups bellows, because now where before everything was boxes and you could pick them flat, now everything's in a poly bag and you have to conform to the shape of what's in it.
Right?
So now you need compliance in the end effector. And then as we kind of went through, and I think we're either on our sixth or seventh iteration of design on this gripper. Now this gripper is an array of 8 cups, and they are compliant, but their natural resting position is actually retracted. And when the vision system says, hey, I see an available parcel for you to pick, but I only want you to extend cups 2 and 4. It sends out just those so that everything else stays out of the way. And so this intelligent interaction between the camera and the end effector, hugely important to the quality control in the parcel induction space, right?
That's awesome.
That's staggering, yeah.
And so that's been very, yeah, that's what we call the ICC, the individual cup control gripper. And it's been very well received. You know, we're just excited about that. And it's certainly systems integrators that are saying, hey, thanks for this.
Yeah.
You know, integrators can do one of two things. Either it's NIH, not invented here, you're taking my scope, I want to deliver that. Or it's a make versus buy decision, and you go, you know what? I'm still responsible for the overall deliverable of the solution, but thank you, Plus One, for solving this piece of it for me, and I don't have to worry about a gripper anymore, right?
100%, so. Eric. I mean, that is PSA's mantra, if there is one, is if we don't have to engineer it, design it, build it, test it, insure it, guarantee it, and it's already done, absolutely, we'll buy that value add from any of our suppliers, and that's something we really do appreciate. So what's the future now of Plus One? Like, where are you going? Where's the next two billion picks coming from? And markets? Are you just staying on logistics? Or are you thinking the next 5 years we're going to explore others? What's on the horizon there?
Well, you can imagine that the whole notion of supervised autonomy didn't start in the warehouse and certainly has broader implications than just what we do. But it's my job, sitting here as CEO of Plus One, to ensure we focus, right? And that's why I have said, yes, certainly you could use human in the loop in the rail yard. You could use it in manufacturing context. You could use it in lots of places. Thanks, but no thanks. Because we have to forge this technology in the crucible of one vertical, and that's the warehouse. And so we're still committed to staying within the four walls of the warehouse because there's just so much opportunity for what we do. I mean, sort of back up. If you and I were standing in a warehouse today and just backed up against the wall and folded our arms and just watched what happens, what would we see? We would see people on forklifts, pushing carts, hauling dollies. The mobility class. Mm-hmm. And then you've got people with stuff in their hands.
Absolutely.
They're pulling orders, they're case wrapping, whatever they are. That's what I call the manipulation class. Well, in most warehouses, there's a lot more manipulation class than there is mobility. Unless you're a cross dock, there's more people with stuff in their hands. So there is plenty of room for Plus One to grow without ever getting outside a warehouse, a fulfillment center, or a DC.
Wow.
And that's where I am living. And if in the future, Joe, you were to come to me and say, hey, we have found this great opportunity outside of warehousing, but we need human in the loop, we can talk about, you know what, it's now sufficiently ready, we'll happily license that technology to somebody.
Right.
But that's not now.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, thank you for the candid response there. And I was hoping you were going to say that because you know full well of being the CEO of Plus One Robotics that market in logistics is underserved. You've mentioned it many times.
Yeah.
So rather than lose your focus and stray away and try to go to other verticals, doesn't make sense when there's a direct need straight in front of you where you're already entrenched in. So yeah, kudos to you. So,
yeah.
All right, this is at the time of the podcast. We like to, you know, wrap it up. And by wrapping up, we like to talk about some success stories. And I think we have one that we can share that is the both of us, right?
Yeah.
Teaming together to satisfy a customer's requirements. And what I'll let you kind of, I know you're familiar with it, so I'll let you just share a little bit and I'll fill in, you know, some of the pieces that we can share regarding this particular application.
Sure. So it's it was a joint project between PSA and Plus One. We were a technology provider only. PSA was prime to the customer. So I'll let you decide, you know, say who the customer is because it's your account. But what we did is they had an interesting application where it was sort of an order fulfillment application. And, you know, if you were to come to me and say, hey, we're doing order fulfillment, we need your help, I would say, is that, that doesn't sound like parcel induction, it doesn't sound like depalletizing, what do you mean? Well, it actually is a depalletizing application, but it's using depalletizing to feed orders. Mm-hmm. And it was just a delightful project to work on, because we had, it stretched plus one from a technology perspective. We now had to have multiple stations we were serving, mm-hmm. instead of just one area, one pallet, or two. It was, you know, today that customer is using, you know, robots from PSA with our technology to go find the item, bring it over, put it in a carton, send that carton out. Fresh carton comes in and we lather, rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
The beautiful thing about this job is, Joe, what are those? 40 pounds, 30 pounds
each?
Yeah,
well, they're anywhere from 25 to 50 pounds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if before that robot got there, somebody had to do that.
Yeah.
You know, call it 50 pound sacks, you know, for the next 4 to 6 hours, your shift isn't counted by the clock, it's counted in tons.
Yeah, right.
You know, so let's relieve that burden on our warehouse associates if we can. It was the right project to go after for that order fulfillment.
Yeah,
it's just been
really
good success.
Yeah, so I can share. I do have permission to share the customer's name, which I'm so grateful for. They're a great client of ours. You know, both of ours. It's Chewy.com. So yeah, they allowed us to, you know, to talk a little bit about the project from a high level. You know, and you know, we had a challenge, right? They challenged us with, you know, with depalletizing, as you said, right, at a random level. Right. And we need to come up with a software solution and a robotic solution to do this for them. And one of the nice things about your product or your solution is it's robot agnostic, which the client actually liked as well. Right. So, hey, we're not tied to any robot model. And the reason why that's so important is because of scale. Right. They want to be able to install these solutions at scale, at rate, with a pretty high velocity when it comes time to building a solution and then installing it, getting it up and running, right? So by using your technology, it actually enhances that scalability. It allows us to use a robot model that's maybe more readily available at this particular time. But also when you're implementing your solution, whether it's a robot A, B, or C, it's the solution's the same running through the PLC, you know, getting data from an AWS system, and that goes in through our solution. And it really, really worked well for them. And yeah, so they're a repeat customer and they're happy with the strategy that we move forward with. And certainly thank you to you and your team that kind of working through the phases, you know, of project from start to finish. And, you know, it's been really good. And we're happy to have you as a partner, them as a customer, and more to come for sure.
It's been terrific. And, you know, everybody understands it. Right? Nobody wants to go to the grocery store and haul a 40-pound sack of dog food into their trunk and then back to the house.
Right.
Let FedEx just bring it to me, right? And so, you know, I love their business model, and it certainly makes for a good opportunity for us. You talk about being agnostic. We can thank Sean on our technical team for that, because his challenge, you know, to the organization was, I don't want you to think of robot agnostic as just brand A, B, or C. I want you to think about it. If it was a three-axis gantry being run by a PLC, it needs to run with our software. And if it's a sophisticated six or seven-axis robot, it needs to run the same
great
software
insight.
With the same interface.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's always thinking in terms of abstraction layers.
That's
so
great.
That we can scale across.
Yeah, Joe, if I can add too, you're talking about collaboration you had with Plus One, but I witnessed several times the collaboration you had, PSA had, with that customer in that ongoing back and forth, right? And I witnessed that several times as I was there. So obviously all those parties coming together really came up with a wonderful, wonderful solution. For that company.
Yeah, thanks.
And then that's how it's
supposed
to
work.
Right? The system integrators have those relationships and are closer to the customer than a technology company
and
can.
And it worked well.
Yeah, certainly understanding the requirements, the needs, the wants, you know, the maybes, the yeses, and that would be nice and all that. Just to kind of, and then having those communications, the collaboration, it all helps to get you to that win-win, you know, scenario where at the end of the day, you know, everybody's happy. And again, there's repeat business to follow. So yeah, great for that. Marty, is there anything that I left out?
You know, I don't know why you ask. I don't know why you ask me to join you on these calls, because you've gotten really good at this. So I appreciate.
I like having your smiley face on the.
I appreciate that you allow me to come in. I feel like I just had an education. And maybe I should have just I'm reading a book now, Eric. It's called Trivergence, Accelerating Innovation with the AI, Blockchain, and the Internet of Things. It's by Don Abscott. He's a Canadian. Yeah. And I'm reading, and I think, well, geez, I could have got same information in 45 minutes from Eric. And, I, you know, so I'm halfway through the book. I'll have to finish it anyhow. But what a remarkable, and your strategic thinking, your strategic planning, because that's the world that I live in. Amazes me how you put it together, how you identified your markets and people ruling. It's just a great story. So wrap up, Joe.
Thank you. Good team, good collaborators. We love working with PSA. We love working with Chewy, and repeat customers, like you said, Joe, is the best referral you can have.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's how you get to 2 billion picks quick.
There you go. Well,
fantastic. Eric, once again, thank you so much. Hey, how can we find you on LinkedIn or on your website?
For sure. PlusOneRobotics.com. But a lot of folks do follow us on LinkedIn. And it's, you know, our corporate account, and also just Eric Nieves, E-R-I-K, N-I-E-V-E-S. We punch above our weight on LinkedIn. We're very active in that community. We love to, you know, share with the community what's happening here and how we view developments in the world. So we're opinionated bunch. So, you know, dial in and we'd love to stay connected.
Yeah, certainly. Go on there, check it out. There's oftentimes, you have blogs on there at times, mm-hmm. white papers that you deliver through LinkedIn. So yeah, so be sure to check it out. Eric, once again, thanks a bunch. I had a blast doing this. Great guest. Marty, thank you again for joining me.
Eric, thank you.
It's been awesome.
Loved it.
Righto. Thanks, Marty. Thanks, Joe.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the PSA BizTech Podcast. The PSA BizTech Podcast is a production of Production Systems Automation. More information on this podcast and PSA can be found at psasystems.com. That's psasystems.com.